Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
First Samuel chapter number 17. And I want to begin reading with verse 34. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Now this was David's testimony to Saul, and you'll see that just in the previous verse, in verse 33, this is a conversation that is taking place between David and Saul. And so really, if we want to say it this way, these are three eventual, if not at the time, would be eventual enemies to David that he is talking about here in this passage, this short few verses of Scripture. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. And I want to entitle this, Face It, Fight It, and Overcome It. Face It, Fight It, and overcome it. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our voices unto the Lord and let's pray for His help tonight, His anointing, His blessing upon the remainder of this service. Jesus, we're in need of You. Without You, we can do absolutely nothing. And I'm praying, God, for Your help, Your strength, Your touch, Your power, Your glory to be here so strong in this house tonight. I pray, God, that You administer the needs of Your people. I pray that Your word would bolster people's faith and strengthens people's walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's give thanks unto the Lord again. Come on, let's really give thanks unto the Lord. He's wonderful, isn't He? And He's worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. In this particular lesson, I would like to discuss how to properly, and I do believe that there is a proper way, how to properly deal with our enemies or our adversaries. Because I feel like it is important that we know how to approach our adversaries, how to deal with our adversaries. Most people have one way of dealing with their enemies. Or things that come against them. They have one method, one standard way of dealing with things. It's kind of their default position. And if we're not careful, we'll get into that routine and that rut. If they have an aggressive personality, then they go on the attack or a counterattack. If they're by nature timid, then they flee from it. If they struggle with anxiety, perhaps they will spend their nights worrying and fretting over it. And I don't know where I heard this particular phrase or this adage, but it is both funny and true. And that is that if you are a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And what is endeavoring to be said in that little short statement is that if you're that type of personality, if you're a hammer, there's only one way that you know how to deal with things. But there's not just one thing that we confront in life. There's not just one enemy or adversary that we come against or one way that it comes against us. So I believe that the proper approach is important for us to know. It's important for us to know how to deal with our enemies. because we know we have enemies without, just like Paul said, and we have enemies within. And somebody said, well, I thought we only had one adversary. We just have the devil. Well, I understand that, and I know what you're saying. I believe that the devil takes advantage of situations in our lives when we're dealing with our own personal makeup and knowing how to overcome certain things in our lives and knowing how to deal with certain things in our own personal lives, whether it be just the way that we're created and our nature. We know that all of us in general have a sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. But we're constantly having to overcome that nature. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in water in Jesus' name, it isn't like that nature just went away. It was subdued. You were saved. But in order to stay saved, there's some habits that you're going to have to pick up that are righteous and good habits. And there are some things that you're going to have to discipline your flesh to do in order to walk with God. And that is so very important. And everybody has different areas of their life that I would call their weakest link. And some temptations that you have may not be a temptation to somebody else. And whatever they're dealing with may not be something that you have to constantly work at overcoming. But I promise you that everybody in this room has something that they have to overcome. You have something that you struggle with. There's something that you have to confront in your life. And I want to be clear, there are times that we need to go on the attack. First or 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 7, Paul states, I have fought a good fight. Paul talked a lot about this. He talked about, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I like to make my punches count. I don't just do things uselessly. I don't just do things to show somebody that I can, but I make my efforts, my spiritual energy that I spend, I make it count. So if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray effectively. And if I'm going to worship, I'm going to worship wholeheartedly. And if I'm going to be a part of something, I'm going to be all out for it. Because I'm not as one that just beats the air, but I'm trying to make headway in this fight. And I realize that the only way I can be victorious is for me to fight effectively. And how many knows that there is an effective way for us to do warfare against the enemy? And I know that the charismatics have tried to redefine this, and they've used it as a, I don't know, they've distorted it in so many ways. But there is such a thing as spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in. We better understand it. And we better comprehend it. And we better have some knowledge of it. And we better understand that we all, every person in this place, we have an adversary, the Bible says, that is the devil that goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I've heard a lot of people say of that scripture that, you see, it's just kind of saying that he is like a roaring lion, but he's not really a roaring lion. He doesn't have the capabilities of a lion. He's a lion that doesn't have any teeth or any claws. But I don't know about you, but the devil I've been fighting, he has some teeth and he does have some claws, and I got the scars to prove it. Amen. But in that particular scripture, it says, seeking whom he may devour. Not that he will, but that he may. Suggesting to us that there is a place in God that we can live, and a place in our consecration to God that we can live, that we don't have to be a punching bag to the devil. We're not helpless when his attacks come. And he will not devour us as much as he may desire to and dream to and plan to, and it's his purpose to. We can live in such a place that we're not devoured. And I want to live in that place. I said I want to exist in that place in God. And as well as there are times when we ought to attack or go in the attack, there's also times we ought to flee. same man that wrote about fighting also talked about fleeing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he said to the younger Timothy, he said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. You got to know what to run from. You got to understand what's bigger than you. You got to understand there's some things I got to stay away from. You got to understand there's some places that I don't go and there's some people that I don't run with. Matter of fact, I run from them because they're not going to be any good for me. And that particular place and that particular group of people and the atmosphere and the influences that are there, I got to flee from that. Because if you run with doubters long enough, you'll become a doubter. You run with carnal folks long enough, you'll get cold in the Lord. It's been said before, but you show me who your closest fellowship is, or i.e. friends are, then I'll tell you what kind of person you are, or you will be soon. And that's why it's important that we have people in our world that are not just maybe even at the same level spiritually that we are, but we have to have somebody in our world that can give us inspiration to aspire for more in God and be more for God. Amen. If everybody in your world is beneath you or just right at the same level you are, then you don't have anything to aspire to, or you don't have anybody to encourage you for more. Praise God. Amen. That's why people that work out, they like to have a workout partner. And it doesn't do them any good to find somebody that, you know, if they're trying to, if their goal is, and I'm just making this up, but if their goal is to bench press 250 pounds, it doesn't do them any good to go find a 140-pound person that can only manage to get 110 pounds up and say, why don't you come and be my workout partner? I need somebody to inspire me. It doesn't work that way. You got to find somebody that's stronger than you are at times. And you got to have them there. And they've got to be a trailblazer for you and a light for you that you can say, you know, I realize I can do it also because they have achieved it, because they have done it. Then it's proven that I can also ascend to that level because God is no respecter of persons. You understand that God has no favorite children. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just one of God's favorites. Well, it's because they are living by principles in the Word of God that they feel that way. And anybody that lives by principles in the Word of God and is faithful over time, it may not happen overnight, but you're going to come to a point that God's going to reward that and God's going to bless that, and you will feel just like they did or they have, that you are a favorite of God. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when a person's got 3 or 4 kids, I imagine in all of the, if you've got siblings, if maybe you've got 2 or 3 or 4 siblings, you feel like, well, there is one. Seem like right now they seem to be the favorite. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? And, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff, but, you know, maybe you felt like, well, man, why does it seem like they are having things done for them and I don't get all the same quality of gifts or whatever? But you know what I have found in that type of situation? You wait long enough, it comes around until the others are feeling like you're the favorite or you're the one that's getting doted on, because it may have to do with the circumstances. If there's a child, for instance, that is sick or one that has been wounded or hurt, of course they're going to feel like the favorite for a little while. And they break an arm and have to have a cast put on, or they have to have a minor surgery of some sort. Of course, they got mama fixing them chicken noodle soup, and they got them, you know, breakfast in bed, and every little old thing getting waited on. And boy, I mean, they're milking it for all it's worth, but that's until they get better. Amen. So if you feel like God's favoring somebody, it may be because God's trying to help them over something. Amen. And God's blessing and helping them because they're in a place of need. Praise the Lord. You ought not feel bad at somebody around you if they're being blessed, because it's just their time to be blessed. Praise the Lord. We need to rejoice with them that rejoice. We need to get excited with the person that's getting the blessing, because we know that our time, if we stay with it long enough, it's going to cycle through and God's going to start blessing and answering our prayers and working for us. But God may be even testing us in those type of situations. All right, if I teach a little bit tonight, God may be testing us with that type of a situation a little bit, seeing what your attitude's going to be. Well, I don't guess they're ready quite yet. I put them through the test and they failed, so guess what? Amen. They're going to have to wait a little while longer. Kind of like the mailman that told me one time, boy, this is bad right here. This is bad. But he admitted it. I don't even know if he kept doing this. I can't imagine him still working for the post office. But this is what they call going postal, I guess. He said, man, I'd go up to them doors, them folks that was waiting on their Social Security check. And he said, man, they'd be mean as devils. And he said, I'd just say, you know what, I'm going to wait until they're nice. And he'd put that down underneath and he'd come back the next day. And he said, about 2 days or 3 days of that, they'd have a smile on their face. Now that's bad. And that man need to be fired. But I just wonder sometimes if God don't look at our reaction to some things. Say, you know, they don't have a sweet attitude about this. They've got a defiant spirit about this. I think I'll just slip this back and wait till tomorrow and see if their attitude's a little bit better. Amen. That was a poor analogy, wasn't it? Because some of you are just fighting mad at that postal worker, and I'm trying to equate that to God, and that don't add up. You know, I don't even get a check, and I was mad at that guy. I was playing racquetball with him, and he hit me with a racquetball, made me even more mad at him. And then he told me, he said, I can't play today, I got shingles. And now there's nobody around here, so don't get nobody get no ideas here. You know, I just keep digging these holes until I get down in them so deep. Somebody has to send in a winch or a ladder or something to get me out. He said, I can't play today. I got the shingles. I thought to myself, that's God getting him for that Social Security check. There's times you got to know when and what to flee from. And then times we allow God to work on our behalf. 1 Timothy 4 and 10, without us really doing anything other than just continuing to be faithful and keep a right attitude and spirit. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. And maybe that's what God's trying to teach us in those times when we want reprisal, when we want to get even, when we want to set the record straight. And we have to trust in the living God that He keeps good books. Praise the Lord. And so somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying we need the Spirit's wisdom of knowing how to deal with these type of circumstances and enemies in our lives. Just because you responded in a particular way at one point doesn't mean that you'll approach every situation that same way. The Bible talks about David having this continual enemy, the Philistines, throughout his life. There were some enemies that he was able to get rid of, and he was able to conquer. Now, there was times that he was able to subdue the Philistines, but he was never able to annihilate them. And really, this is a real perfect parallel and type of our flesh that is constantly there. It can be subdued, but it cannot totally be annihilated, and it'll never be totally not there for us to deal with until we hear those immortal words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. So we're going to have to deal with our flesh. We're going to have to daily conquer our flesh. That's why the Apostle Paul is great, a man of God that as he was. He said, I die daily. Every day I got to get up and take on this flesh. The enemy may not always be present and may not always manifest himself in my life, but I've always got the flesh to deal with. And David was dealing with this enemy that keeps coming back, the Philistines, And he assumed in one particular occasion in 2 Samuel chapter 5 that he would just deal with them like he's always dealt with them. And he said, Lord, you want me to go back out against them just like I did in times past and get the victory? And the Lord said, I want to do it a little bit different this time. He said, I want you to wait until you hear the going in the mulberry trees. And when you hear that, that's going to be your signal to go. And at that point, I will give you the victory. You're not just going to go on your own timing and on your own abilities, but you're going to have to wait on me in order to obtain this victory. So what are you saying? I'm saying there's times when we have to depend on God to reveal to us how the victory is going to come in our lives. Can you say praise the Lord? Because the enemies of God are often allowed by God to help us become stronger. Help us to become what He wants us to be. Do you know that He uses the enemy, the devil, at times to reveal what is in us? That's what you read about in the book of Job. He said, I'm going to reveal the integrity of Job, the loyalty of Job, the faithfulness of Job, because I'm going to put you on a leash. I'm going to put boundaries and limits on what you can do, but I am going to let you have a certain amount of access to Job's life. And we know even in the Old Testament, again, the Philistines, they were left there for a purpose and a reason. The book of Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 kind of outline why God left the Philistines and for what purpose He left the Philistines in Israel's life. And that was, first of all, teach them war. Second of all, to prove their obedience to God. And then third of all, to learn how to trust and rely upon God. And that's what an enemy will do in your life. It will, first of all, teach you how to pray and get down to business when it comes to spiritual warfare. It'll teach you to learn how to plead the blood. It'll teach you to learn how to call on the name. It'll teach you to worship when you don't feel like worshiping. Praise and when you don't, you know, if it was just good and blessing all the time, when you say, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I don't have to pray. I don't have to worship. I don't have to exert any spiritual energy. I could just sit back and coast tonight. No, but when you've got an enemy in your life, you know this service, I need some victory. This service, I've got to overcome some things. This service, I've got to have God to help me. I need the Lord to touch me. I need the Lord to work in my life. And I've got to receive something of the Lord tonight. So it teaches you some things. And then to prove obedience to God. You know, God's got a way of getting our attention where we can say, I'm listening. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to do anything until you tell me. Because I've already felt what it's like when I get out ahead of you or too far behind you or I disobey you. So I'm going to be obedient to you. And then third, how to trust God. Because some things in our relationship with the Lord, we have to completely learn how to trust in Him because it's beyond our ability to fix it. Has anybody ever had anything that was beyond your ability to fix it? You had to trust God. Sometimes when even doubts enter your mind and there's question marks, you know, that are placed in your mind, that's then that you've got to learn to trust in God. And as I often say, the very worst time for you to make big-time spiritual decisions is in the extremes of life. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying when you're under extreme attack by the enemy, that's not a time to make a big-time spiritual decision. Some people think, well, maybe this is a sign to me. You've got to be careful about all of that. If you're on one of these emotional swings out here, and that's what you base all your decisions on, well, man, I'm up here on the clouds today, so this right here, this must be the right decision for me. I feel God in this. Well, you feel God in everything when you're feeling like that. I mean, you're drinking Holy Ghost coffee in the morning. washing it down with Holy Ghost Diet Coke at lunchtime. I mean, everything is God. Some of you listen to Holy Ghost Radio. Brother Hoffer, I mean, everything's HGR. It's got HGR food, HGR preachers, HGR pastors, HGR evangelists, HGR conferences, HGR this and HGR that. I said, man, is there anything that isn't consecrated to HGR? Everything is HGR. And I suppose that's all right. He just sanctifies it and goes on. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're feeling faith and you're feeling so strong in the Lord, you can spiritualize anything. Any little old happening, you can make that seem like, man, that wouldn't happen if I wasn't where I'm at right now in God. And it may not have happened. But you need to put it to the acid test a little bit and not just take these streams and run with them. It streams all the time. It's got down again where you can hear that mouse run across that cotton ball. But it's the truth anyway. Praise the Lord. And it is very important that you learn how to walk with God. You know, what does the Bible say in the book of Isaiah? It talks about they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the opposite of progression that we look at things in life. I mean, usually, typically, from a human standpoint, baby learns how to crawl, and then it learns how to walk, and then it learns how to run. It doesn't start out running and then go back to walking and then to crawling. But you notice when you got the Holy Ghost, you felt like flying. Anybody feel like flying when you got the Holy Ghost? You felt like you were flying. I mean, you could fly over any enemy, any obstacle, any trouble. And then there's times when you felt like running. Amen. You kind of settle down into a pace of running. And I'm not saying that it has to be this way, and there's not times you're not going to feel like flying again, but you know the ultimate movement in your walk with God and the mature place that a saint of God has to get to is no matter what, I'm going to keep on making forward progress, and I'm going to keep on walking with God. And I'm not going to faint. In other words, I'm not going to fall out by the wayside. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stay steady. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to stay with it. I'm not backing off. I'm not retreating. Somebody said, well, I'm not making the progress that I felt like I was. Well, at least you're making progress. And you need to keep pushing ahead and keep making progress and keep walking with God. Praise the Lord. And that is important to have forward progress in the Lord. And so we have to learn how to trust God. David was the chief resister to the Philistines. And he had many enemies that we could talk about here tonight. But there's three main adversaries that I want to deal with in the life of David very quickly and discuss how he dealt with them. First of all, there was the lion and the bear that we read about in this text as he testified about it to Saul. I noticed something about this story, and that is that David didn't go out bear hunting or lion hunting. The bear and the lion came to him. And he was able to face it. Most incidents, as I understand it in all of my reading about it, most incidents that happen regarding lions and bears where there's injuries or death is a result of hunters and hikers that are going out into their habitat. And either they walk up on them, or maybe as a hunter they are stalking them or setting up for them in their habitat, and there's an incident that happens, and there's an injury or an attack from that bear or that lion that takes place. People that go out hunting the devil, I'm going after the devil. You're crazy. Amen? I mean, I'm going to Bless God. I know we have a song, Pentecost, Storming the Gates of Hell. And that sounds real good. But you know what? I don't know how biblical that is. Because even the prophet said, when he was rebuking the devil, he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." In other words, there's none of us in our flesh that has the ability to take on the devil. Come on. Amen. But we serve one that is greater. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Through him we conquer. Through his name we prevail. Through faith in his name, the Bible says. Praise God. And so we may encounter the devil going after souls and doing the will of God and doing the work of God. Of course we're going to encounter the devil because we're endeavoring to take things that he wants and he has control of and that are in his territory. I understand all of that. But that's we're not just going out and picking a fight like a bully with somebody, but we're doing the work of God, and of course we're going to encounter an enemy called the devil. And when the bear and the lion came, the Bible said he at that point didn't flee from it. If you're doing the work of God and you're full of the Holy Ghost and you encounter an enemy in your life and you're doing the will of the Lord, you don't have to flee. You don't have to run. You can stand your ground. And the Bible said this, resist the devil and it'll be him that'll be doing the fleeing. It'll be him that'll be running away. It'll be him that'll be running for cover. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Does everybody follow me here tonight? And so it's so important that we understand this. And if you live for God any period of time, probably within a 24-hour time period of receiving the Holy Ghost, probably within a 24-minute time period of receiving the Holy Ghost, you encounter the devil. The first thing he told you is you didn't get the Holy Ghost. First thing he tried to tell you is that's all you and that's all emotion and that's all what has been cooked up in your mind. There's nothing to it. But you knew better than that because you didn't feel what you're feeling in the drug world. You didn't feel what you're feeling in alcoholism. You didn't feel what you're feeling in sin. Sin couldn't offer you what you're feeling. Praise God. And so we do understand that this whole fight started over this lion and this bear on separate occasions coming in for what he called a lamb, a little lamb that was basically defenseless against. It was just a small thing. And somebody said, well, if you got a flock of sheep and you got a lion and a bear that comes in to it to take a lamb, I mean, what would be wrong with sacrificing one little lamb or letting it have one little lamb rather than go down there and take your life in your hands trying to take it on or put yourself in jeopardy or danger trying to take it on? But you see, David understood something. He understood, if I'm not willing to fight for the small things, if I let the enemy or this bear or lion get by with taking one little lamb, when it gets hungry again, guess which flock it's going to come back to? You can't peacefully coexist with an enemy. You can't make a truce with the devil. You can't say, well, I'll just let you by with this, or I'll just give up this, or I'll just capitulate in this area, or I'll compromise this certain consecration unto God, and I'll give up on this conviction, and I'll quit fighting you in this area, and you'll go away and leave me alone and never come back. But if he sees you give an inch, he's coming back for a mile. And you're going to have him to deal with on another day. You might as well make up your mind. Right here's where I draw the line. A little lamb is worth fighting over. A little conviction is worth fighting over. A little love, amen, for the things of God is worth fighting over. Truth is worth fighting over. Amen. Everything that we believe and espouse to and teach in this church, if it's worth living, it's worth fighting for. If it's in the Word of God, it's worth fighting for. How many times have I seen this progression go on and on and on and on until there's nothing left? Well, I don't know. I just never did understand why we did these things. And you took tithe from people and you didn't understand why we did those things? You received offerings and tithe, and you led people, and you didn't understand why we did those things. You got off base somewhere. Amen. Praise God. I have a responsibility as the under shepherd of this church to fight for the little things. I have a responsibility to fight for the consecrations that this church has made. And I have a responsibility to fight for what this book spells out in black and white. Amen. And stand for it staunchly and believe it and keep it intact. Can you say praise the Lord? So important. So important. I've heard people say, well, you know, we kind of given up on certain areas. You know, it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with that to us. Doesn't seem like that's a big deal to us. Amen. What about to God? Well, I ain't worried about you. I'm worried about to God. Is it a big deal? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I promise you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be worried over that little thing. You get to heaven, you're going to look around and say, my Lord, I don't know anything I had to give up. It was just a small thing. If I could experience this and if I could have this reward of going to heaven. Praise the Lord. And so you got to be willing to face some certain things, because if you allow it, it'll come back for more. I read after this man, Capstick, is an African hunter. He's not from Africa. I actually think he was from England somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe he was an American, but he went over into Africa and hunted wild game, big game, every kind of vicious creature you can think of. And many times he would go in and there was a lion, perhaps it was attacking in a certain village, and maybe there had even been casualties or deaths as a result of this. And they knew that this lion, once it ever started, it was going to stop until you got it. I had a friend in California, Brother Leo Fisher, I think he now lives out in New Mexico. But He actually, hunting mountain lions in the state of California is illegal unless it's specially permitted by the state because of a lion going in and taking calves or taking sheep from somebody's farm. And I remember on one occasion he talked about how there was a mountain lion that was attacking some people's sheep, and they had actually saw the mountain lion come up around their house. It gotten so bold, it came up one night onto the edge of their porch where they had their dog tied up. It was after the dog, and they were alerted, and they, of course, went out, and the lion ran off. And they said, something's got to be done. So they called for him to come out and take care of this. And when he came out there and hunted a lion down, and he drug it up there, this dead lion, and showed it to them, and they said, that's the one. That's it. He said, no, I'm sorry. He said, this is not the one. They said, now, we've seen it. We know what it looks like, about the size of it and everything. You haven't seen it. How do you know? And he lifted up its top lip, and he said, this is not the lion that's been eating your sheep. And they still didn't really understand, so he went back out, and he hunted down, and he killed another lion, and he drug it up, and he said, now, this is the one. And they said, how do you know? And he lifted up that top lip again, and there was wool that was in the gums and around the teeth of that lion. He said, this is the one that's been coming in the flock and getting the sheep over and over again. Because once it gets started, you have to get it. You have to hunt it down. I'm going to tell you, there's some things in your life you can't play with. You have to face it. I said, you have to face it. Praise the Lord. There's little things that might not seem like a big deal, and nobody, it may seem like, knows about it, you feel like. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep flirting with that and keep allowing that to live in your life, it will destroy you. It'll grow so big that it's out of control. And it's not going to stop until it takes dominion in your life. Praise the Lord. Your thought life. You better learn how to deal with the little things in your thought life. You better learn how to deal with your actions and your ways of interacting with the opposite sex. Oh, I've got on it here, man. Praise the Lord, I'm right up there. But it's the truth. Somebody said, well, that's no big deal, you know. Psychologists tell us that before there's ever any physical connection that takes place, first of all, there's an emotional attachment that takes place. People continue. You know, they spend a little bit more time around the water fountain or at the coffee machine talking and empathizing with one another. And one another's problem isn't long until issues at home come up and they start empathizing with those things. And before you know it, you've got a full-fledged problem on your hands. You got to have boundaries in your life. I said, you got to have some fences and lines that you don't cross. Is this okay tonight? Praise the Lord. There's some areas that you don't go, and there's things that you don't do, and you don't allow yourself. You don't take men an extended glance and allow your mind to drift off into things. You got to have a spiritual. You got to have spiritual blinders on. You got to have the Lord to help you and stay full of the Holy Ghost. What about secret anger that is boiling and seething inside of people that maybe it's not seen most of the time? Maybe it's something that just kind of is simmering underneath the surface there. But given the right circumstances, it's like Mount St. Helen. It's like, and everybody else sees the fallout. I mean, there's volcanic ash everywhere. Molten, spewing lava that comes out of a person if a little pressure is applied at the right time. You know, this right here is a Bible study that gets kind of right where you're living, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. What about unforgiveness and hidden bitternesses and aught that is there that... I'm going to tell you what, if you got a problem speaking to somebody, you got a problem. You got a problem that you need to deal with. You certainly aren't going to be able to go to heaven with that kind of a spirit and that kind of attitude and you feeling justified in that and you petting that and you currying that and you allowing that to live in your life. You need to deal with it. I said, you need to deal with it. Praise the Lord. And so, these are things that we've got to face. And these are things that we've got to face by sometimes looking in the mirror. That's what this word is. It's like a mirror. And we look in there and say, oh, my Lord. Mm-mm-mm. Praise God. I didn't even know that was in there. You can read that book, and I'm going to tell you there's so much in there that people do not realize that they're participating in because they don't spend time reading it and they're involved in it. I'm going to tell you one thing that's in that book, in that New Testament. You read 1st, 2nd Corinthians. You read 1st, 2nd Timothy. You read Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians. I'm going to tell you one thing that's in there a whole lot. Is a lot of talk about having sound speech. There's a lot of talk about being a talebearer. There's a lot of talk about being a gossip. And I've never seen a day when Pentecostals justify their gossip any more than they do now. And it's tearing people's lives up, and it's a problem that we need to face. We're not going to skirt around it. We got to face it. I said we got to face it because it's harming us. You wonder why we don't have strength. We wonder why you can't have revival and a blessing of God, and you can't have God favor you in your life, and why your prayers are all stopped up. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you can't gossip and tear down a brother or sister in the Lord and expect God to bless you. Now, you can say, oh, me, or oh, my, or amen. Praise God. Any one of them will fit. But I'm promising you tonight, this is in the Bible more times than we'd like. It did get whitewashed. If I was preaching about adultery, you'd be on your feet. If I was preaching about fornication, you'd be clapping your hands. If I was talking about homosexuality, bless God, you'd run the aisles. But there's just about as much in there about gossiping and talebearing as there is about anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's clap our hands to the Lord. And that's not to say that adultery and fornication and any of those things that are sins of the flesh, the pertaining to sins against our flesh, that's not saying that we're going to go light on that at all. Amen. We preach against that. And I don't mean to make a comparison like that, because somebody said, well, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say, and you know it. What I am trying to say is there is some things in that book that we skirt around because, well, you know, may have kind of a problem with it myself. I heard about one man said, he said, I made a covenant with God that I was going to pray 3 minutes for any person that I talked about. Somebody was in a prayer meeting with him, and they heard an alarm going off every 3 minutes. Man, he had a pretty bad day, I guess. I don't. Every 3 minutes, the old alarm was going off. He's having to start up on somebody else. Wouldn't be a bad thing. I'd keep you reminded, wouldn't it? Be sad if you had to spend your whole hour of prayer. Couldn't even get to your own needs at all because you was praying for somebody else. Praise the Lord. Well, do us good to kind of get our minds off ourselves. We don't have to talk about somebody to do it, though. Praise the Lord. And then the second enemy was the giant Goliath, and he fought him. Brothers thought that they could ignore it and just go away. Others ran from him, but the Bible depicts this. It says that he ran down into the valley where the giant was to fight it. When the enemy is aggressing in your life, you have to fight him. Hitler, he just went goose-stepping into places in Eastern Europe. Certain, he sent the Nazi army just in there. They had their jack boots on, and they were just marching in, and people just laid down their weapons and surrendered. Didn't even show a fight. You know, Churchill got to watching that, and he said, it ain't going to be like that here, buddy. He said, we'll fight you on the land. We'll fight you in the sea. And we'll fight you in the air, but we'll never surrender. And the devil sometimes is going to find out what you're made of. I said, he's going to find out what you're made of, whether you've got any fight in you. Praise the Lord. You can't, again, peacefully coexist with the enemy. You're not going to be able to sign any kind of a treaty with the devil. You just got to make up your mind, I'm going to fight him. And when David fought him, he used proven methods. He said, this armor of Saul's, it's not proven. I've never wore this armor out to battle. I haven't proven it. I'm going to tell you, when trouble comes, you got to get back to the proven methods. And there is proven methods. Prayer. I know we harp about it all the time, but for something we harp so much about, there's not enough activity when it really comes to actually praying that there needs to be in people's lives. Fasting, that's almost something everybody's kind of given up on, or people's forsaken. And I'm going to tell you, that's not the will of God. But fasting, there's nothing that gets your attention where you can get God's attention any more than fasting and pushing the plate back or turning it upside down and saying, God, I'm not going to eat another bite until something breaks in me, until I can get a prayer through and get me out of the way so you can move. What about consecrating some things to God and saying, God, I've kind of drifted in some areas and I got off track in some areas, so I'm going to pull back in to what I know and what has been proven. Amen. Maybe I've kind of drifted over in some areas that I don't need to be doing that or participating in that, and you just realize it, and all of a sudden you make course correction. There's nothing wrong with that. Bring yourself back to where you need to be and say, God, I need to get your attention. I need you to work in my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proven thing. Faithfulness is a proven thing. I know every night is not swinging from the, we don't have chandeliers anymore, but swinging from these speakers and biting holes in these ceiling tiles and banking the walls as you run the aisle. Not every night's like that. Not every night should be like that. Some nights have to be like it is right now, where you're hearing the Word of God and you're getting it in your heart, because that is a sword that you're going to use and a weapon that you're going to use against the enemy. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, whether it's Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning evangelistic service, or Sunday night edifying the church, you need to be in the house of God. And there's not many excuses. I said there's not really a lot of excuses that can be used. Amen. We just need to be there. There's a thing about being there in the house of God. I'm going to be there in the times when we're running and shouting, and in the times when we're listening for the voice of God to speak through us to us through His Word. I'm going to be there. Praise God. It's important that I be in the house of the Lord. Man, I hear about some settings and people telling me, I mean, even pastors confiding in me, man, we got a great crowd Sunday morning. Drops off. I'm talking about big churches. 200 and 300 people Sunday night. And then cut that in half Wednesday night. And we're starting to see a little bit of that trend around here, and I don't like it. I'll just be the first to tell you, I don't like it. Praise the Lord. And it's not the will of God. Some of you need to get your priorities straight again. I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. Amen. But we need to get our priorities straightened out. If you want an excuse, you'll always be able to find an excuse. You need to be in the house of God. Amen. It's the people that are always looking around for an excuse that end up having trouble and end up drifting away in their relationship with God. There's something about just being there and getting what you need from the Word of God. You know, sometimes you get a full course meal, and sometimes you just get something to hold you over. But whatever you get, it's going to be what you need to sustain you until the next time you're able to be here. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's give Him praise. And I know I'm going a little bit longer than usual tonight, but there's one more thing I want to talk about. Third, He overcame. He faced the lion and the bear. He fought the giant, and He overcame Saul. Well, this is one we struggle with. He avoided a direct confrontation with Saul. You know, there's some people, the Bible actually said He behaved Himself wisely. When He was doing the will of God, trying to be a blessing to Saul, and He threw a javelin at him. And the Bible said He behaved Himself wisely. Now, He was young. He had some agility and ability and all of that. He could have maybe at times felt like, man, I'll just take his thing and toss it back at him. If he wants to play catch, I'll play catch with him. And give in to that impulse to take up for himself. But he put the matter in God's hands. You don't fight people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what the Bible said. Mark Twain, and excuse me for using this word, Mark Twain said, never argue with stupid people. They will drag you down to their level, and they'll beat you with experience. And that's the truth. Like tar babies. If you don't let me go, I'm going to hit you again. Bless God, if you don't let both of my hands go, I'm going to kick you. I'm going to kick you with my left foot if you don't let go of my right foot. And then before you know it, you're stuck. If you sling in mud, you're always losing ground, one man said. And that's not something. These Facebook wars, I don't even know anybody that's involved in that. So don't think I'm been tipped off or anything like that. Don't have Facebook. So I don't know. But I do know flesh, okay? I've been at this long enough to know flesh. And these Facebook wars that go on. And I guess because all this stuff going on in politics right now, it's kind of probably put fuel to the fire on this. But everybody that puts something on Facebook, you don't have to respond to it. Did you know that? That you don't have to respond to it? Amen. Did you know that? You don't have to say anything. Boy, that'd be a novel idea, wouldn't it? And again, I don't know anything, so if you're guilty, you're guilty, and I don't know it. So don't think I'm just going to stare straight ahead. Everybody like this new painted letters up here? Serving God is beautiful. That's where my attention is right now. That's where yours needs to be when you get on that Facebook. Colossians 3:13, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity. You know what that is? Charity is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let debate rule in your hearts. Let I'm going to prove I'm right. Let I'm going to stomp them down, bless God. I've lured them in and I'm going to take them over now. Act like you're playing Minecraft or something. Battlefield. Got you. Zapped you. I must be on it because it's getting awful quiet in here. I don't know when y'all going to learn. When you want me to move off something, you get up and you say amen. You get to clapping your hands and you say, come on, preacher, move on over the speed bump. Get on over. Yeah, that's it. Keep on going. We don't need no help there, praise God. You guys look like those bobbleheads. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Don't be provoked. Don't be easily provoked. Because you're revealing what's on the inside of you. You got a fight on the inside. You're wanting to fight. And somebody's giving you an excuse. And that's a bad thing. Alexander the Great, I'm going to close with this because I can tell some of you'd like me to close. Alexander the Great was just 33 years old when in a fit of anger he killed his best friend. He was a man that was able to conquer the world, but he was never able to conquer the world within. Winning the war within is important if you ever want to win the war without and ever want to be victorious. You got to win this battle down here. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Would you lift up your hands to the Lord and let's give him some praise right now. I thank you, Jesus. I give praise to you, God.